Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, Catherine McNamara, the only one of my kids who has not checked in. And let me tell you, when she comes in last on my birthday and her brother John beats her, that's going to not make her happy, okay? Because John wouldn't remember his name if he didn't have a name tag on. Yet, somehow or other, he's managed to sneak in before her on my birthday. So, it's an issue. It's an issue. Speaking of issues, joining me is my hetero life partner, I think.
Yes.
Via the wonders of Skype. So, first of all, happy birthday. How are you?
Happy birthday, Mac. Are you having fun today? It's December 7th. It's your birthday. And it's a very historic day today.
Wow.
Hello, everybody.
Making it up as he goes.
The king of wing.
There you have it. My birthday so far, it's pretty early in the day, but Patrick woke me up at when he came back from playing senior league hockey and had to tell me that he scored 3 goals and one should have been on ESPN. I said, thanks, bro. Can I go back to sleep now? He said, yeah.
Where is Patrick?
He's at Camp Pendleton working, but he lives here.
Good.
But he's almost, he's getting out of the Marine Corps and going to go work in D.C., and so we'll see what happens with him. So then, let's see, my daughter-in-law, Susie, called me and got to talk to her and Finn, my grandson. And then Johnny Boy, who's typically not until late day, early evening, when somebody finally goes, oh, yeah, it's Dad's birthday. And he says, oh, I got it. Hey, Dad, happy birthday. So John bombs in. I said, whoa. Hey, where's my son? Who is this? He said, I know. He said, I'm trying to get better. I said, well, that's impressive. John, actually, I'll tell you what. His stock went up in my book this week. On Wednesday, the day of President Bush's funeral, he had the day off, so he went to to Washington D.C. to pay his respects, and I love that. So very cool.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah, so do I. I wondered if he would. I would have because I'm a huge history guy, but I thought it was very cool. I also thought, you know, Kim, I'll let you talk about this, but you know. One of the things that was on display was The Greatest Generation. Bob Dole getting up out of his wheelchair.
And, that was moving.
Oh, man. And, I mean, I don't know if you're a current-day politician, how you couldn't stop and look at these people who used to disagree, but they used to pass budgets, they used to get stuff done, and reflect on what we have today. And think that, you know what, those who followed The Greatest Generation are pretty lame, you know, because, you know, you look at, you know, President Bush, through his life is a life of service. Bob Dole's life is a life of service. And we don't do it like that anymore. And I think it's not good for the country. And watching that all week, if you're a politician and how that doesn't kind of get under your skin a little bit. Man, I need to be better. I don't know how you can escape that because I was pretty seeing a guy like Bob Dole at his age and how frail he is fight to stand up and then to salute. Holy!
He was great. It was the fact that the Bushes invited Trumps was an exercise in civility. Whether it probably went way, way over Trump's head. But nonetheless, he did it. And to look around that room, and when they were shown everybody talking before the casket came in, waiting for the bushes. It was remarkable. It was very enjoyable to watch and say, see, folks, you turkeys that are in office now,
we can't
look around and see how these guys get along and how the former presidents got along, how Bush came by when he came in, and he slipped Michelle Obama a cough drop. It's their inside joke. That's what it should be about in D.C., and it ain't right now. But maybe it'll start to change.
I don't think so. I don't want you to get your hopes up, Pumpkin. But
I'm going to get my hopes up because it's got to change, or they're not going to be there.
I don't think they're the kind of leaders that can change. I wish I could think otherwise, but there's nothing that I see from anybody who's in a leadership position today, and that means we've digested September 11th. But for the grace of God and the stupidity of a shooter, 20 congressmen could have been killed inside of a baseball diamond, right? Because he's a pissed off liberal, right? Inflamed by what our media does on a daily basis. That's going to kill Republicans now. And I know that, and I'm not calling out liberals because that sword swings both ways. And so
sure in the hell does.
What I'm saying is none of that seems to affect the way they conduct their business. And so reading The Little Engine That Could, I hope, The Little Engine can get to the top of the hill, but there's nothing that I've seen from these people that put the greater good of the country before their own parochial desires. And it's just, I think it's disgusting. But again, it makes you miss the greatest generation. Your father was a part of it. I said, George Bush at the age of 18, he was a rich kid. He did not have to do what he did.
No, he was a preppy.
Right?
He was preppy, Ivy League, chinos, penny loafers. He had that down. But the thing is, as far as I can tell, I agree with you about the current leadership. But what I saw this November was that leadership is starting to change, and it's going to continue to change.
I disagree.
And eventually, it's going to get back to the.
I think you're. Eight. I don't know what you're smoking, but it's good stuff.
It's the best fucking shit you could ever touch.
You might want to.
And I'm going to keep blowing those smoke rings because I have to believe in that.
I wish I could.
And just the way I'm rolling. Yeah. But I think that this country is getting sick and tired of what the status quo over the last 30 years. And I think there's going to be a movement to change. I believe it. I think it's the younger generation is going to see what's going on in Washington and say, fuck this.
No, it doesn't matter what the younger generation says. It matters what money says. And money says that they don't count. And they've never...
I agree with you that money says this doesn't count. But pretty soon, you can take the money and shove it when they start... Let's move on.
I know. No, I just... I wish I shared your sentiment that... And share your optimism, but it's one of the saddest parts about our country today. And again, you've heard me say, the stuff we see on the news, that's not our country. The people that you saw getting out of their cars in the D.C. area, right? Some taking pictures, others standing there saluting. You could tell who the veterans were, right?
Yeah.
The people that lined the train tracks in Texas.
That's
yesterday,
what I was going to say.
I mean, that...
It reminded me of when Bobby Kennedy came down by train from New York to Washington, and how many millions of people were lining the tracks, the train tracks when his train went by. It was, it reminded me of that yesterday.
Yeah.
With HW's train.
Yeah, that's it. Those so, are the.
And I thought, it was, I thought, God, there's got to be hope. I have to believe there's hope, Mac.
I know.
I can't be a pessimist. I can't live my life thinking that it can't change.
I know.
Refuse to believe that it's going to stay the same.
I know.
I think they're going to tell people with money to go fuck themselves and go buy an island, but away from our country.
I don't know that it works like that. I there's nobody that hopes, I think, more than those of us who have fought for this country, that it will be something else. But what we see continually disappoints me. And I don't, again, money trumps everything. And it's just, it's disgusting. And it's money that comes in on both, from all sides of the political spectrum. And it gives us this thing that we watch on a daily basis. But that's why the last week has been such a great reminder of how great the Greatest Generation is. The Greatest Generation,
yes.
It's not just, you know, what they did in World War II. It's what they built after. And it was there. And you know, it's not very cool to say this, but the WASP values, right, included the country before the party. Right? And when we joke about it, uptight white people, all that kind of stuff, but we didn't face the kind of crap that we faced, right, till after that generation and their values have gone away. And now we have politicians who didn't serve, who believe the reality of the world comes to them on their TVs every day via our 24/7 news cycle. And that isn't the reality of the nation. The reality of the nation is Costa Mesa flooding yesterday and people coming from all over the place to help other people move stuff, pull cars, all that. That's the country that we grew up in. Whether it's sandbagging the Red River during the spring thaw, whether it's pulling people out of the ditch in the winter, you know, it's what we saw in Texas. So, there's a huge disconnect between what we see in this country on a daily basis, the country that I fought for, and the politicians it represented. And I keep my fingers crossed. I just don't share your optimism. And so, but I want to encourage it. Keep smoking that good stuff, bro.
Well, I'm going to, and my only hope is before I'm deep into the back nine, and before I shoot on through to the other side, I want to get a phone call from you saying, Holmesy,
you were right.
They made the turn. They've made the turn. We're on the right track again.
All right.
That's all I want to hear.
Okay. All right. Well.
I know my time's running out, but I just hope that it happens. And I doubt that it will, but it will in your lifetime.
Okay. All right. There you have it. But no, it was on display, the Greatest Generation on display again all week. And I will tell you what, one of the most touching things was when President Bush's pastor got up at the National Cathedral and talked about James Baker rubbing his feet.
Yeah.
And you saw James Baker lose it. James Baker is a former Marine. And, you know, chief of staff, and James Baker is a
Secretary of State.
He had
a lot of hats in HW's.
Yeah, classy baller, you know, smart. And you saw, and you just see the greatness of these men, both while they've been in office and then since then. And it's just like, God, where are those people? And why can't we do it better? So anyway, all right. Let's talk about making good birthday cake since it's my birthday. Is there a secret to making a great birthday cake?
Yeah, don't overbeat your batter.
Because you listen to this program, beating the hell out of it? Well, you know, you and I, we're going to talk about a few things in public that you and I have talked about relative to cooking. We were talking about crust. I called Kim and asked him, why does my mom's handwritten recipe call for apple cider vinegar instead of water? So in, I want to say in Betty Crocker's crust, it calls for 6 teaspoons or 6 tablespoons, one of the two, of water.
Teaspoons
of water, cold water. In my mom's recipe, it calls for 3 of water and 3 of apple cider vinegar. And so I called Kim and I said, why would my mom use apple cider vinegar? And the answer to that is?
Flaky. Flaky crust, baby.
Flaky crust. And the other thing you told me was, do not handle the dough with your hands too much.
No. No.
Explain
because
that.
You warm the butter up, and it flattens the crust. It doesn't. You want everything ice cold. The butter can be in the fridge in little cubes, and you had one of those old fashioned mashed potato mashers with the wires beside each other and a handle, and that's what you do to mix it, and that's actually exceptional because your hands don't touch the butter and the flour, so you don't melt the butter. There you go.
I had not heard that before.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing we talked about. When you saute pork chops.
Yeah.
You brown them and then you saute them.
Yes.
My fear is that by the time that they're done sauteing on low, and there's Corporal Punishment Kathleen's recipe calls for my beloved mother, exactly, on my birthday here. My mom, did you build models as a kid?
Did I what? Build models?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yes.
Of what? Airplanes from World War II?
Yes, yes, sir. Every damn one of them.
You know what? Did you hang
even? I even made a Stutka.
Really?
When I got my BB gun, I went up on the garage and put it in the, hung it from a tree and shot at it. My BB gun.
Did you hang it from your ceiling?
I was into, painting them and really tricking them out.
I wasn't into painting them. I didn't paint them. I made them. I put the decals on them, and then I hung them from the ceiling of my bedroom.
I did that too.
Yeah.
I did that too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Kim's. For those of you who don't know, Kim's dad flew a C-47 during the Normandy operation and in the major operations of World War II. Kim's dad was a C-47 pilot out of England and participated in all those operations. And so it would be only natural. My mom used to make, I was in the hospital, I had a heart murmur as a kid, and my mom would build models with me in the hospital. Yeah, it was cool. One of my great memories of my mom sitting there in a dress helping me build a model. but anyway, God rest her soul, my mother. But it's her recipe, and it calls for you lightly brown the pork chops, and then you mix condensed milk and cream of mushroom soup, and then my mom's recipes are all easy, but they're all delicious. Right, then you put the pork chops in, and then you let it simmer. Now, my question to Kim was, well, the pork chops are going to cook to a certain extent in the simmer. So why exactly am I browning them, and how long should they simmer? So would you give your response to that?
Well, you brown them, But the response I gave to you, you brown them a minute on each side and pull them out. Now, I suggested you dust them in flour before you brown them, and you say your mama didn't do that. So I said, fine, but still brown them, but not for long. You pull them out, then you put You've got juices in that pan. Then you put your condensed milk, your cream of mushroom soup. You stir that, get up all the particles from the meat, and then you put your pork chops back in the mixture, put your lid on, and simmer it. And the reason you brown it, so your pork chops don't turn gray.
So it's just a coloring event. It's not, you don't really,
yeah.
It's not for any kind of cooking, because pork does look like the underside of a whale if you, I was thinking about that, if you don't brown it.
And also, Mac, when you brown something like that, you sear the skin, and which, in return, searing the skins keeps the juices in the meat, which is another reason to sear.
Okay, so we're talking about the pan's on high, you know, very short time. On one side, flip it, and then off onto a plate. And most people would say, oh, on high? That's a little bit scary to me. But all you're doing is the sear, which is going to be, what, less than 60 seconds?
Yeah, yeah, 30 to 60 seconds, depending on the thickness of your pork chop.
Okay.
And you sit them on a plate. Then you put all the ingredients in the saucepan and turn it down to simmer. But the pan is your saucepan, and you use a cast iron skillet.
Right.
And that retains the heat. So it's going to still be bubbling, but by the time everything's mixed together with a wire whisk, it'll be just bloop, 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 just kind of simmering along. Then you add your pork chops and you put your lid on. And then you're in the front row. And I suggested, I didn't know how thick your pork chops were, but I suggested an hour to an hour and a half. And how did they turn out?
Good. It was delicious. And so I would say probably an hour on the saute side of it.
Well, your chops were probably a quarter to a half an inch thick, correct?
No, they were half inch or bigger.
Oh, better.
Yeah, chop chop. Big chop.
Way to go, man.
Big
way
chop.
To go.
Yeah.
I like a big thick pork chop.
What was I going to say? It's a family favorite. It's mashed potatoes with this mushroom and condensed milk with the juices of the pork in the gravy. It tastes delicious, and peas. That's the meal. So it's
that is the championship meal.
It's a favorite of. Of our family, but I
get that as a kid too.
But pork is cheap too, right? You can buy a lot of pork for not so much money. It's pretty as opposed to steak and chicken. I mean, hello,
folks. Let me tell you something. If you want to buy pork, you can go buy a pork loin, and it's about 8 to 10 pounder. It's in a big. It's one piece of meat that has all the bone and fat trimmed off, most of the fat, and you can cut your own thickness of pork chops, and you can dress it. You can make a little roast if you want to do something one day. You can cut pork chops, wrap them, and freeze them, and pull them out as you need them, thaw them out overnight in the fridge. And another thing, what Mac did, with his mom's recipe, if you've ever had a stuffed pork chop, that is pretty spectacular. And I usually, for stuffed pork chops, will buy the pork chops at least an inch thick, maybe a little bigger, and I cut a pocket in the pork chop down to the bone. And the opening is maybe 2 inches wide. The pork chop is bigger, obviously, so you have to get your knife and your paring knife and move it around and make yourself a pocket. And then put your favorite stuffing inside. It could be wild rice. It could be cornbread stuffing, regular Thanksgiving stuffing, is usually the traditional one. And then you brown them just like you're going, you're doing the regular pork chop. Then you sit them on the plate. You add your mixture, your soup, and your condensed milk, and then put them back in the saucepan, put the lid on, and add maybe about 15 minutes to the cooking time, 20 minutes, so it's cooked all the way through, and that's also a very delicious recipe. I'm sure everybody out there has had stuffed pork chops at one time in their life.
You know what? Again, but the whole thing is it's got to be cooked right otherwise. But again, but pork, I mean, it's so cheap. Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you find more recipes?
It's under $2 a pound right now for pork.
No, you can get good pork and again, do good things with it. So, Mac, but yeah, that's a favorite of our kids.
This big kid too. I love pork.
Here's an email. Mac, I just want to commend you for transferring a lot of your interviews over to Skype. The audio quality is much better, and the voices sound much bigger. They sound like they could be in the studio with you. Well done. Happy birthday.
All right.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you on both counts.
And I thank you too, Mac.
Kimmy Big Pipes. This is Kim's actual voice. And the same thing with Mike. And for the longest time, it was just it's more convenient to do it over cell phone. It's easier. But the better audio, obviously the better the interview. And here's another one. Mac, I do think you should be more optimistic about the future. I don't really know why. I just think you should be. I know. I'm an optimist by nature. But again, I don't see how we get there. I don't want to go back there. I just don't see it. I mean, I can wish, but that would be it. So anyway, here's a cooking. Does Kim have a recipe for pie dough? I heard you guys talking about it before, but you're only talking about a small slice of a recipe. Does Kim have one?
I do not have one, but I will have one next weekend, next Friday.
That's right.
And I will have a couple of versions. My wife is the power baker in our household, and she bakes pie crust about as good as you can bake it, like Susan does and your mama did.
Yeah, Susan doesn't use apple cider vinegar. And so what got me curious about it, and the reason I called, was because I have an email from my sister that lists the ingredients. It says, and the note my sister wrote was, this is from Mom's recipe card in her handwriting.
Wow. So,
exactly. That's like in the kitchen, that's like Moses holding the Ten Commandments, okay? So that means we're not deviating from this, all right? A buddy of mine said he made carrot casserole for Thanksgiving as part of it. Yeah. He said, dude, that thing was gone. He said, that's an awesome dish. But again, that's not my mom's dish. She stole it from somebody. But, so that's what that is. And so Susan's crust is very good, but she doesn't put apple cider vinegar. So I was like, well, what? My mom doesn't, like, she knows her shit, right? She knows her shit. So, anyway, that's why I picked up the phone. I called Kim, and I said, what is the significance of apple cider vinegar? And I looked it up. And I think that in looking it up online, it says it keeps gluten from forming and thus keeps the crust flakier.
Yes.
So that's what Kim said, but in a little bit different way. All right, so next week we'll do pie crust. Another cooking question. Mac, how about a grilling pork dish from the chef? Does he have a favorite glaze? Does he have a favorite way he likes to grill pork or pork chops? Kim?
Yes. I discovered this when I was living in California, and what I did was I browned the pork, and I buttered a baking dish. And
So you browned the pork in a skillet?
No, you brown it in a skillet.
Okay.
And then in a baking dish, a buttered or oiled baking dish, you put your pork chops down side by side, and in a saucepan, you actually, you take a little bit of, I put a little bit of white wine I browned the chops, and then I add Dijon mustard, a cup of Dijon mustard, and a cup of honey, and a cup of white wine.
Ooh.
And I whisk those all together and make a sauce, and then I poured that over the pork chop and covered it in foil, or if it has a glass lid, put that on, and put it in the oven. Bake it at 325 for about an hour until it's all bubbly, and your pork is perfect. It's very tender, and you've got an excellent sauce. And the juices from inside the pork get in that mixed with that sauce, and then you serve it with our whatever veggie or starch you want. To me, it's when I do pork, I love mashed potatoes. But you can also, that's an excellent with a baked potato, a loaded baked potato that we have talked about. I also like baked cauliflower. Okay?
Got it.
As a veggie. Yeah. To serve with pork.
So you put up the concoction that you're putting over the pork. Now this is grilled, right? So you lightly brown it, and then you're going to use that glaze when you grill it.
Well, you're not going to grill them.
Oh, okay. So
you're
the
email. Bake them.
Oh, okay. The email talks about grilling. Right?
Oh, grilling.
Yeah. So give us.
Oh,
a,
well,
give a,
then what I would do is. You salt, pepper, oil it, and you grill them, and you get your score marks, and then you put them off. You do some indirect heating so the inside cooks and you don't burn the outside. And in a saucepan, you put the wine, the mustard, and the honey in there, and you bring it to a boil. And cook it down. You want to reduce the wine, cook the alcohol out of the wine, but you want that little extra tartness to go with the honey, so you have a savory and sweet sauce. And then the last 10 minutes it's on the grill, you brush the chops and brush them and flip them once, and then just before service, you throw them on the heat, and the sauce is hot, should be hot,
right.
And you put it on the plate, and then pour that sauce over your pork chop.
Got it. All right. And again, sugar creates black, right? Which is why we're not going to lather it while it's over the charcoal.
No, you don't want to put anything sweet unless you want something black.
Okay, let me ask you this. How about if it's just on indirect heat? Can you...
Well, that's what I said. On the indirect heat, the last 15 minutes, you brush that sauce on the indirect heat.
All right.
Because it'll bake into it. You won't have any direct flame on the meat to blacken the honey or burn the mustard. So yes, if it's off the heat, if it's on indirect heat, you can baste them a little bit before you serve them. And then make sure your sauce is nice and hot when you put them on the plate, and then you ladle about an ounce of sauce over the pork chop, each pork chop.
Got it. All right. The key part in that is sugar creates black. That's what created the black chicken that we all ate as kids. We're going to have barbecue chicken. Oh, that's awesome.
Don't do that to me.
You know what's the other day I went to the store and I was going to make chicken, but the only thing they had at the supermarket was chicken with skin on it. So I bought it and then I just trimmed it, right? But my daughter Catherine's there and I said, "Have you ever had chicken with skin on it?" She goes, "That's disgusting. I don't think so." And I said, "No, it's really good." She's like, "Oh my God, Dad." I said, "No, hello, Kentucky Fried Chicken? That's not just the skin. I mean, that's just not the chicken." And she's like, "The skin, really?" And I said, "But we grew up eating, right? And now most people, if you look in your supermarket, you know, there's not that much chicken that has skin on it anymore, you know?"
No, everything's, my wife buys only skinless, boneless chicken breast.
There you have it. That's not the way we grew up, man.
I tolerate that, but if you've never had crispy chicken skin, you're missing the boat.
Exactly, to die for.
It's also an artery clogger. But who gives a rat's hootie?
That's right.
It's, the flavor is in the chicken skin. I'm sorry, folks. It's just the way it is.
It is the way it is. But yeah, Catherine's like...
I completely understand the health ramifications eating chicken skin. However, once a month, I eat chicken skin, whether I need it or not.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but I mean, she looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, because they just, we don't do it like that anymore. We don't do it like that anymore. Here's another Christmas actual recipe. Hey, Mac, I'm a big fan of eggnog. I don't suppose you are because you don't even drink, but the chef sounds like he likes to party. Does he have an eggnog? He does have an eggnog recipe. Go ahead there, Kimball.
Well, yes. What I do when I had the restaurant, I sold gift certificate on Christmas Eve at the end. I was there, and Richie West, my bartender, and I made everybody an eggnog cocktail.
That came in.
That came in to get a gift certificate. They got as many eggnog cocktails. I'd limited to four. But I would buy, you can buy great eggnog. You can make it yourself, but it's a very time-consuming recipe. My recommendation is to buy a excellent eggnog from the store.
Yeah, let me ask you about that. So what's excellent eggnog? What's the difference?
Eggnog that is not low-fat diet.
Oh.
Eggnog that has cream and is rich. It's pretty hard to make eggnog better than the high-end eggnogs you can buy in the grocery store at this time of year.
Okay, but we want high octane eggnog. Yes.
Yes, and the choice of alcohol is either rum or bourbon.
Ooh. What is your preference?
I'm kind of wishy-washy, but I have lately, the last 10 years, settled on rum.
Rum?
Pirate rum. It's a very flavorful rum, has hints of vanilla, and it's quite exceptional, and I highly recommend that. But your favorite rum or bourbon, don't use cheap bourbon or cheap rum. You know, go for it. It's only once a year that you can do this, because also eggnog is exceptionally calorie laden.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not for dieters.
Look, it's Christmas though, so if you're gonna, so it's wanting to make great eggnog, and so if you want to do that, then you got to start with premium eggnog, and then your preference is rum. Is there anything else you put in there? Because
yes, you know what nutmeg is, that little hard nut that you grate, a nutmeg grater. You can get those in any grocery store.
Okay.
And the nutmeg nuts come in a little container in your spice section.
Right.
And you take that and you leave about, in your cup or glass, you leave about, a half an inch from the top, and then you take homemade whipped cream and put a dollop of that, I'd say 1 or 2 tablespoons of whipped cream on top of the eggnog, and then you grate a little bit of nutmeg, a little dusting of nutmeg on top of the whipped cream.
A dusting?
And then as you'll taste that nutmeg and whatever your favorite adult beverage, rum or bourbon. The traditional alcohol is bourbon, but of late I like rum once in a while with this cocktail. But yeah, it's a very pretty presentation. The whipped cream, a dollop of whipped cream on the top there, with a little nutmeg grated all over the top. Just a little light dusting. You don't want to go crazy with the nutmeg. And then you'll be in the front row with me.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I'm not so much of an eggnog guy, but Kim, if you were smart in the day, you'd show up later in the afternoon at the restaurant. When everybody was sufficiently lubricated, it became it was a pretty fun party.
Yeah, it's, I think we did the radio show Christmas Eve, didn't we?
We did it more than once down there. We do it,
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, and it was always a good time.
For me, it's something I could do more than once a year, but I don't. Not anymore. And if you like eggnog, this is a great cocktail, and it's something to have Christmas morning, Christmas after Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve, or any of the weeks leading up to, from Thanksgiving to Christmas and New Year's even. And that's just one of the great gifts that Santa brought upon us.
Nice. Nice. The chef joins me, as he does on Friday, my hetero life partner, Pete Kimball Holmes, and we're talking about eggnog right now as we kind of wind our way through the morning. Are there any other Christmas specific things? Eggnog specifically associated with Christmas and the holidays. Are there any other?
Yes, there are. And I discovered this when I worked in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spice mixture that comes in a tea bag, and it's called Glühwein, Gluwine, and it's, you take hot red wine, and you put this spice packet in there like a tea bag, and it spices it up. I don't know if they have them. They'd have them at Williams-Sonoma and specialty grocery stores,
right.
I'm sure. And if you want to kick that up a notch, then you can throw a wee bit of vodka in there to add to the wine.
Ooh.
If you want to get naked. basically, it's something that I would serve to skiers in the afternoon when they come in, and I'd serve that all winter long, all ski season long. And it's a hot, spiced wine.
Hot, spiced wine. And what's the name of it? Spell it.
Glühwein. Gluwine. The W in Swiss German is pronounced like V.
Right.
It's Gluwine.
Gluwine?
I think so. And there might not be an E on the end.
How about Gluwein?
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it. Thank you, doctor.
Glühwein is usually prepared from red wine heated and spiced with cinnamon sticks, cloves, star, aniseed, citrus, sugar, and at times vanilla pods. It is sometimes drunk Mitschloss with a shot, which means that rum or some other liquor has been added.
Yep.
How about that?
There you go.
There you go. So that is associated with Christmas with you.
Yes. And well, in Switzerland, you know, they serve it the whole winter season.
Hello.
Yeah. But it is a Christmas drink also.
Got it.
And very, very popular in Europe.
Got it.
Not only in Switzerland, but all over Northern Europe.
Got it. Got it. Do you enjoy that? Do you make that for yourself? Or is this something that you left in Switzerland?
I don't make that here.
It's too much?
Because my wife does not like wine.
Oh.
She's a Coors Light girl.
Nice. I love those girls.
That's girls.
That's right. Normally those girls grow up in the county. Don't wear shoes very much and don't like to wear their clothes. We like them. Those girls.
I like my women shoeless and naked.
There you go. Drinking Coors Light. That's right. Not a bad quality. All right. One more cooking question, and then I will let you go today. Mac, I always love when you have the chef on, and I want to concur with an emailer a couple emails ago about the voice quality with Skype. Not only Kim, but Mike as well, in your third hour. It really is much better. Thank you. My question is going back to birthday cakes. Does the chef have an easy birthday cake to make that tastes delicious?
Well, Yes. You can, it depends on whether you like white or chocolate cake.
White.
White cake. My suggestion is if you've never made a cake before, get a good, cake mix and you have your 9-inch rounds. You do two of those. And, what we do is we'll do two cakes and then we put them on a cooling rack and then we cut each cake in half. And then because I am an icing guy, then you ice each cake. And if you want to make it a little boozy, before you ice each piece, you put the bottom piece down, and then you take your favorite liqueur. It could be a raspberry liqueur, it could be an orange liqueur. I personally use Cointreau, which is an orange liqueur. You can use Grand Marnier, right, which also has a little scotch in there. And you sprinkle that on the cake, then you ice it, then you put another layer on, and you just build your cake that way, except for the top. It's just the ones inside that you put the liqueur in, and it gives it, it soaks into the cake and gives it a little bit of, a little hit of excitement. Or you can take, if you don't want to use liquor, you take frozen raspberries or frozen strawberries. You thaw them out. You put them in a blender. And then you coat each layer of cake with the strawberry or the raspberry. Or you can even do it with blueberries. And then you put your... cream cheese, I like cream cheese frosting, powdered sugar and cream cheese. And that's what I like to do. And then you put your icing, then you put your cake, then you spread your liqueur or your strawberry or raspberry puree, and then icing, and you build it that way. And then the top, you just have the icing on the top. No flavoring, and then you ice the sides, and then and there you go.
But
you can take a box mix, and you can jazz it up with those
things, that, right?
Spreading the flavor, and another way to do that is you take your favorite jam. It could be peach, it could be whatever jam you want, and you heat that up in a saucepan, and you take a pastry brush, and then you brush that on the cake, where I told you to brush the puree.
Right. Oh. You know, I thought of you, and we're kind of talking about dessert, but there's a lyric in a Macklemore song. Right. And I waited tables once a year at a domestic violence fundraiser at Kim's Joint. I used to crush it. I had my own clientele of women that used to contribute the most money. But anyway, but I had to learn what tiramisu was once. I'm like, yeah. What? And so the lyric in the song goes like this: "There's layers to the shit, player, tiramisu, tiramisu." I thought, whoa, that's kind of like philosophically profound in a very cooking way. Yes.
Yes, it is.
He's talking about life, but he relates it to tiramisu, which is a layered dessert. And I thought, I hear that and I think of you. And, yeah, Macklemore. I'll send you the song. So, anyway. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the visit.
You take care. I'll see you next Friday.
All right. Remember, don't forget the pie crust recipe is number one.
I got it written down next week, pie crust.
All right. There you have it, Kimmy Big Cups. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, Mac, and many, many more, my brother.
We'll keep our fingers crossed, all right? We'll keep our fingers crossed. 61. What the hell? Halfway to 122.
61. Now, you're not 61. You just turned 40, for Christ's sake.
61.
51.
60, as in 6 times 10 plus 1.
You're 61?
Yeah. Don't say it like that. What the hell?
Oh, man. That's unbelievable.
It is. It is.
Way to go, Mac.
I'm not feeling that, bro. I'm not feeling that. That number's getting bigger.
Oh, I'm not buying what you're selling.
That number's getting too big, man. Dial that shit back. Get me back into the 40s, man. 40s, that's like...
You are in the 40s.
That's like being a little kid.
Today's 60s.
Yeah.
It's like the old 40s.
Yeah, that's it. That's what everybody that's 60 says. Everybody who's 40 says, what? Get out of here with that shit. Anyway. All right, bud. Thank you. Have a good week.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right. There you have it.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. That is P. Kimball Holmes here on a Friday. The All Marine Radio Head Chef. Yeah. There's layers to the shit, player. Tiramisu. All right. The Gunner joins us next. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is if you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.